This is Afternoons with Carl Langdon on 6PR, the voice of Perth.
And I'm joined by Dr. Tony Vergano from the Swanbourne Vet Centre. So if you've got an issue with your pet and you'd like to have your question answered, pick up the phone, 922-11882 right now, and we will put you to air. So this is your chance to get some free advice. Obviously, anything that needs done to your pet, you can take it into the Swanbourne Vet Centre where you can find Dr. Tony Vergano and his team. So 922-11882. The SMS, if you don't want to call through and you want to put your issue down on the SMS, 19999677, or if you'd like to email me, afternoons@6br.com.au, you can. Doctor, you said it's a little bit wet outside.
Very wet. Very wet, Carl, but nice and dry in here.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful in here. Now, as we wait for the calls to come through, just some of the things that I know that you talk about at this time of the year, and spring is a beautiful season. We see the flowers come out and everyone's driving out to see the wildflowers and so on, but this can be pretty harmful, like it is to a lot of human beings, to the pets.
Oh, absolutely, Carl. It's sort of a house and garden time of the year too. You know, all the wet weather's finished, the dog goes outside, all the negative feelings that dogs and people have during the winter, particularly dogs, because they miss out on their walk and run with all their mates. And so suddenly all of this happens again. But with it comes the fact that people start throwing, you know, fertilizer around as well, plus snail bait and all those sorts of things, which puts the dog at risk. And they always overuse those sort of things. There are bees around. Some dogs have hypersensitivities to bees, so we have a preponderance of dogs coming in with swollen faces and worse. And then we've got several dogs now on sort of desensitization programs where they've got such bad reactions to bee stings it's life-threatening, and so on. I mean, spring is a lovely time of the year for everybody, but it can be a sinister time as well for dogs because they're so adventurous. You're talking about people getting into trouble and hurting themselves with pranks. Dogs most certainly get into those sorts of things, right from the young puppies that venture out and eat stones and foreign bodies that people have poured the barbecue oil onto because it tastes good, and suddenly they bite something off they can't chew, as it were, to the old dogs that drown in the swimming pool because they're unattended. So it is a time when you've got to heighten your awareness. And it's, as I say, house and garden, you're out there with the dog. We're very busy for that reason. You know, like people take the dog down to the beach and you have problems with all sorts of things, not the least being you're a fisherman.
Yes.
Hooks in fish heads that errant anglers use, leave around the place and so on. So,
hey, I've got to ask you this because I am doing this show for the last time this week.
That's a shame.
So doing it till Friday. So it has been fun. But my own cat at home doesn't like me. Right. Now, I'm not really sure what it is because the relationship that it has with my daughter, whom we bought the cat from the Cat Haven for, it was a kitten, so it's grown up, and my daughter has absolutely cared for it like you wouldn't believe.
Well, that's 90% of it.
Yeah, and so, but I've always fed it and given it water and let it out for a run and given it a scratch when it wants a scratch.
But you're a pretty larger-than-life character. If I was a cat and you arrived home from work swaggering in, you know, nearly 6.5 feet tall and yelling and you know, being you, or any man, really, the cat thinks, not going near him.
Yeah. So that's just the way it is?
It's got nothing to do with whether you're cruel to it or not. I think it's just the perception that these small animals have of someone who dominates the situation, whereas your daughter is, and as I say, it's 90% of the thing. You feed the cat, then the cat loves you. I mean, there's more to it than that, but you know, that's a big start.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is to start giving the cat a treat. I always give my dog a treat when I get home, no matter what time it is.
But the cat won't come to me, mate.
No.
It just runs away. Like, I try to give it a pat, and it won't do it. The only time it'll do it is, like, this morning, right? Yeah. I get up, and I'm going out to turn the alarm off, because we have the alarm on at night, and I open the door to let the cat out. And it knows that I'm doing that. It knows that when I push the buttons on the – this is how smart it is. So I go, put the little code off, and then it's already on the scratching pole, which is straight underwear, and it knows that I'm going to give it a scratch. So, and then I'll open the door. Once I've given it a scratch, I'll open the door and the cat goes out for a walk, for its morning walk. So this is 6 o'clock in the morning, you know. And
well, you can build on
that's
that.
That's it, mate. Yeah, that's all I get.
Yeah,
and then,
but even that, that's a start because the cat then recognises that you're going to give it a scratch, that you're the one that opens the door.
Yeah.
Build on that. Give it a pat. Give it a treat. you know, do something nice for it, and then it'll gradually come around, because they are selfish things, cats. Well, I mean, all pets are. What's in it for me? And so if you're feeding them and letting them out and doing all the things that they want, and cats have staff, you know, not owners. So if you start behaving more like staff, you'll get a bit further.
This is good advice. All right. I reckon other people have issues like mine. That's why I had to throw it out there while I had you here and had my chance. Megan is in Leeming. Hello, Megan.
Hello, Carl. How are you?
Good.
Good day, Megan.
Good. Hi, Tony. I'm actually calling regarding a cat, and I'm a real cat person.
Yep.
Unfortunately, my partner and father of my child is highly allergic, and so I've not been able to buy my own cat.
Mm.
But because I'm a cat person, as I'm sure you're aware, cats are attracted to you. And we had a stray cat arrive about 6 or 8 months ago.
Mm.
It was extremely skinny. It came back several nights in a row. I ended up giving a bit of milk. Then I started buying cat food for it. Now, it's not allowed inside, but I've made a little bed for it outside, and I've basically been feeding it ever since.
Yeah.
And just recently, I found a tattoo in his ear. So I'm now aware that he has an owner who's cared enough to have him de-sexed.
First of all, that point, Megan, I wouldn't beat yourself up too much on that, because the tattoo is just a circle with a stroke through it, which denotes de-sexing, and they do it at Cat Haven and so on. All cats are done when they're sterilised, so it doesn't mean that there's an owner in the vicinity. It could well be that the cat was just done at that time and has since become a street cat, you know.
That's what concerned me, is that I've taken someone's cat.
No, I wouldn't beat yourself up on that. As I was just saying to Carl, you know, cats have staff. You're doing all the things that he should be doing with his cat too, in general.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that's the sort of thing you've done. And so you've given it the green light to be with you. And I think a lot of cats have two owners, even if the owners don't realise that. You know, they've got two places.
Yeah, he kind of disappears all day and then comes to me at night. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if he does have somewhere else.
Mm.
I also, one thing I have noticed, and maybe you could give me some light on this, is like at first, you know, obviously he would be fed, but he wouldn't let me touch him. And you know, as time went by, I was able to pick him up.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that underneath him, where his rib cage is, it almost feels like he's had a broken rib, as though someone's given him the boot underneath him and it's sticking out.
Yeah.
But it doesn't cause him any pain.
No,
do you think that that's possible, that there could be a rib that's sticking out?
It's possible, but it's much more likely, Megan, than it's what we call the floating third rib, and it does often stick out like that. So, again, I don't think it necessarily means that he's been traumatised in any way. That's very common with cats. Yep.
Oh, okay, that's really good to know. Thank you very much.
That's
and so
pleasure.
Do you think it's okay? Because I wasn't sure if I should go to a vet's and get him scanned for a microchip.
Well, certainly I would do that, because that's a far better gauge of whether he's owned or not than the tattoo, which is a fairly old way of identifying the cat's been sterilised. So certainly take him along to the local, but get him scanned, find if
would
there's an
cost?
Owner. No, most vets wouldn't charge for that. And then they can, then you can make some inquiries. And basically what they'll do, you'll ring them up and they'll say, this is my number. And then the owner, if they're interested, will give you a ring.
Then
more than likely the owner will say, oh, that's where he's living. That's fine. Oh, well, fair enough.
Yeah. It's just my sister gave me a hell of a running down about it. She's like, you've probably stolen someone's
pet. No. The cat's chosen you.
Yeah, he sure has. He loves me.
Thanks, Megs.
Thanks so much.
Good on you. Thanks for your call. Alf's in Hammersley. Hello, Alf.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
G'day, Alf.
Tony, I've got a little dog we got from the vet 15 years ago. Now, she's blind.
Yep.
And I think she might have had a little stroke yesterday.
Yes.
Her back, she's wobbling.
Yep.
And her back leg is not touching the ground. She's limping on.
Since yesterday. Back leg.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, very often, if you look at a hold her head in your palms and look straight into her face, and you might see that the eyes are flickering in a cyclical horizontal manner, and that's something else we measure, or it's one of those really quite clear clinical signs of a dog that's had a vestibular problem, which can be, as you've called it loosely, a stroke. Yeah. So, look, they often get over that. At 15, I wouldn't probably be doing anything other than give it a modicum of time to see how it goes.
Yeah, she is wetting around the house.
Mm. There comes a time, Alf, when those sorts of things, I think you've got to think mentally in your mind and sort of think, okay, we've got an old pet, its quality of life, at what point, and make a sort of a, speak to your vet and talk about some of the parameters that you can write down, literally write down and say, okay, if it oversteps the mark here, there or whatever, or if this starts to happen or if this is still not happening, then I'm going to have to assume this animal's quality of life has got to the point where, you know, it isn't worth persevering. One thing I can say is that if the dog is blind and deaf, deafness is probably worse than blindness in dogs. Blindness occurs gradually. Deafness can often happen overnight.
Right.
And they lose their lose their touch with reality very often. They just sit there without any stimulation. And so the quality of life really does start to have to be questioned at that point.
Yeah, she does. She stands in the lounge and just stares.
Yeah.
I know. Okay, thank you very much.
We all just stand in the lounge and stare at some stage, don't we?
Absolutely.
Eh? It's 16 minutes past 1. 922-982 is the number. Trev and Jane, you'll be first in the queue after this.
He's been on 6PR for 60 long years.
Turn it up.
50 years?
This is ridiculous.
Oh. He's been on 6PR for a very long time.
For crying out loud, save me from this.
He's Bob Mormill.
Hey, baby. Oh. Hey, baby, let's rock on now.
And this Sunday from 10, Bob hangs up his headphones for the last time.
Why is he leaving, Rob? He threatened to leave before, but he didn't go.
Join the whole Mormill on Sunday team as we farewell a 6PR legend.
Don't laugh. This is serious.
The final Mormill on Sunday.
I'll be seeing you
this Sunday morning from 10.
This is serious radio
on 6PR.
You could get up and turn off the aircon in empty rooms to save energy. You could get up and adjust the temperature. You could get up and turn on the front lights for the wife. But why bother when you can do it all from the comfort of your couch? With My Air and new My Lights from Advantage Air, you can now control the temperature and lighting to every room from your phone, tablet, or if you're up, the home hub. Advantage Air makes the connected home the ultimate comfort zone.
Purely Commercials are selling brand new Fiat 1-ton, 2-litre turbo diesel vans for under 25 grand drive away. Never, ever have these vans been better value. purelycommercials.com.au.
Direct from Scotland, the world-famous pipes and drums of the Royal Scots Dragoon Guards are coming to Perth. Crown Theatre, Saturday, November 5. Book now at Ticketmaster.
Special matinee show, 2 p.m. now on sale.
The best garden.
Hi there, Graham Ross. Now, you all know I love gardening, and we all know that Sea Sol is just simply fantastic for keeping your garden healthy and looking great. But did you know that Sea Sol helps with root development? This means that Sea Sol treated plants have a greater access to water and nutrients in the soil. This goes for everything in your garden, from your lawn to your roses, even your veggie patch. So don't just water your garden, Sea Sol your garden.
Don't forget the Sea Sol.
Hurry into WA Hino and save big on Hino Genuine Clutch Kits, Brake Rotor Kits, Brake Drums and much more. Offer limited, part of AHG, DL13348.
Rock and roll. Fish and Chips. Lily and Marsh. You've seen lots of great partnerships in your time. And at PNN Bank, we now offer the perfect retirement partnership. Just combine our retirement account with our retirement term deposit and you'll enjoy an interest rate higher than our standard 3-month term deposit rates. PNN Bank, the power of and. To find out more, search retirement rewards. Eligibility criteria applies. Check the PDS at pnbank.com.au.
Trover's huge pot sale is on now. Over 4,000 pots must be sold. Small pots, medium pots, large pots. Drovers is quitting their entire range of pots, all below cost. Terrazzo, terracotta, glazed terracotta, cement and slate. Pots start from just $1. Over 4,000 pots must be cleared. Get in now for huge savings. Be quick, only while stocks last. The huge pot sale on now at Drovers Osborne Park in Wanneroo. Open all long weekend.
Until 3, this is Carl Langdon on 6PR,
the voice of Perth.
Welcome back, and if you'd like to have your query answered about your pet or a question, maybe you're planning to get yourself a pet, 922-1182. Let's go to Trevor in Hilton. Hello, Trev.
Good afternoon, Carl, Tony. Tony, I've got a little staffy cross that has that skin...
Yep. every trouble. Almost every she's staff he does, yep.
Yeah, she's on
prednisolone, yep.
Yeah, 5 milligram. Mm. Now, the only time I give her those is when she starts going for her feet or her ears.
Mm.
But I was told the other day that human antihistamines are okay for dogs.
Well, to start with, Trevor, prednisolone is not an antihistamine. It's a corticosteroid, and I think that to use it sporadically like you are is not a great idea because it isn't produced naturally in the body, and without getting too scientific, it ought to be tapered off when you give it, and I don't particularly like it. There are some better medications, and certainly the antihistamines I use with my staffies, I use Zyrtec, cetirizine hydrochloride. It's a human product. You can get it over the counter at a chemist, and it's about one tablet per 10 kilos, and look, it doesn't work as well as the prednisolone, but it certainly takes the edge off the irritation. It makes them a bit drowsy too, and so they tend to scratch themselves less. And so I would prefer, and I've always managed my staffy skin problems with just the antihistamines and bathing and so on. There is a new product on the market, which is a totally different way of looking at dogs scratching. It's a product which inhibits cytokinases, which are enzymes which are responsible for inducing the inflammatory and itch reaction, and this is a product which has recently come on the market, and so you should talk to your vet about that as well. It's quite expensive, and it really depends on how severe the problem is, but it's certainly a much better way of treating these sort of things just than using prednisolone ad hoc, particularly ad hoc. You need to use it in a very structured way, otherwise you will run into other problems.
Well, while you said that, Tony, they think that she's actually got a brain tumour. Oh. Would have this caused that?
No, I don't think so. It's very unlikely, Trevor. The corticosteroids and the over-administration of prednisolone and things like that is more likely to cause problems like Cushing's syndrome or what they call iatrogenic Cushing's, where you the dog drinks enormously and gets lethargic and edematous and all those sorts of things. So I would think that the brain tumour is something separate. How old is the dog?
She's 7.
7, yeah, okay. Well, I obviously have not had that diagnosed beyond just the fact that she's showing some signs of intracranial pressure. Is she wandering around, standing in corners and this sort of thing?
No, she's just, it goes into a, like a little fit.
Okay, she's had it fits, okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, well, certainly that is one of them. That's one of the things on the hit list if you're trying to determine why dogs do that. That would be, and at 7, it starts to mount the column. As they get older, the brain tumours and things like that become more common and more obvious. But getting back to your question about the allergy, certainly I would use an antihistamine like cetirizine or Zyrtec as it's commonly called, or this new product, which you should talk to your vet about.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Trev. Jane is in Mount Hawthorne. If you'd like to jump in the queue, I know it's a little bit dreary outside at the moment, so if you're shut inside and maybe looking at your dog or your cat or your bird or your snake or your lizard, you're allowed to have all those in Perth, aren't you? Jane's in Mount Hawthorne. Hello, Jane.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. Another dog question, I'm sorry. That's terribly all right. Boring. We've got a 3.5-year-old Chihuahua poodle cross, maybe we don't really precisely know, but little dog.
Yes.
That was badly bitten in a dog park a couple of weekends ago.
Mm.
Had emergency treatment and the stitches were removed yesterday. But one of the things that we were concerned about, which we hadn't really thought about throughout this whole process, was taking him back into like an environment with other dogs.
Mm.
Like, we're just wondering whether we should expect a behavioural change.
There will be, Jane. He'll be very, very wary. And if that dog comes around, he'll know it again. And equally, I would be looking for the other dog as well. If the other dog was not being attended properly, or your dog was totally innocent bystander in this, and you were following all the directions, like having him on a lead or off it, if it was that sort of a park, because these sorts of things and unruly dogs in those sorts of situations, really, it's just not on for everybody else. And most dogs,
yeah.
There's no such thing as a dog which is savage to the point that it attacks other dogs. It just is poorly socialised. Getting
right.
Back to your dog, though, yes, you may find, and I think you're just going to have to introduce the dog back to the park carefully and quietly, let it play with its own friends, if you like, and just perhaps get ready to lift it off the ground and maybe walk it into the park holding it and putting it down only with its dogs rather than the ones that, you know, are likely to do what happened to it last time. And they'll normally have a group of friends that they meet regularly and that have a, you know, quite a good relationship with, and that's what they look forward to.
Well, that's good news, actually, because it was not a regular park and it was an off-lead environment. And we, as humans, felt uncomfortable being there even before the incident. So that's quite, that's interesting to know. Yep. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jane. Now, Tracy's called and asked, why is it so expensive to get a rescue dog? What's the best way or place to get a rescue foster dog?
Well, I think, Tracy, that, you know, the best place are some of the reputable ones like the Shenton Park Dogs Home, and there are other dogs' homes around, and they're in Bunbury and so on as well. The reason it's expensive is really just to cover the costs of sterilisation, vaccination, microchipping, and sometimes behavioural modification, if that's appropriate, and also being housed. The other thing that I would say, which sounds a bit high and mighty, but I don't reckon people really... really, you know, sort of appreciate or take on the responsibility of anything, let alone a dog, if they don't have to pay something for it. And I think that just heightens the need to make sure that it is a winner, and therefore for you to bestow all those things about on the dog that you need to as a responsible owner. But to put it in a nutshell, I know Shenton Park charge a certain amount which covers the sterilisation, and only about a half what it would actually cost. By the time you sterilised and microchipped and vaccinated a dog, you're probably looking at well over $500. I'm not sure what the going cost is now, but certainly when I was looking after the Shenton Park Dogs Home, it was something like $250 you had to pay. It's probably far more than that now, but that's basically the crux of the expense.
Paul in Armidale, welcome.
Yeah, hey, gentlemen, how are we?
Good. Hello, Paul. Good, thank you.
Look, I've taken on a bit of a problem for myself.
Yeah.
My dog passed away a couple of months ago, and she'd been my companion for 16 years, and I couldn't throw her things out.
Yeah.
So I've still got her bed and her cushions and all that out the back, and a stray cat's moved in.
Yep.
Which didn't bother me, so I've started feeding this cat and giving it milk and whatever. But it's now obvious the cat is pregnant.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to get the cat to trust me. I can get close to it, like a metre or two.
Yeah.
But when I try and grab it, it runs. So I'm prepared to take this cat on.
Yeah, sure.
But I just can't seem to get it to trust me.
No. Well, I guess what you're going to have to do, first of all, is to get near it. And often it might mean that you need to try and capture it in some way using a... There are possum-catching cages and these sorts of things to try and get it, and then take it inside. And you'll as the things we've discussed before, to win a cat over, you'll be able to do that over a period of time. Once it's had its kittens, I think you'll find you'll be able to place those quite easily with your local vet or the cat haven or whatever, and then you're on your own. You need to get the cat sterilised. And from that point...
I'm prepared to do that. I just can't get it to trust
me. No, well, I think the first thing, Paul, is obviously there is some trust there now because it keeps coming back and you're feeding it and so on. And then,
it lives here, but it won't come to me. Know what I mean?
What about try moving the bedding inside the, say, laundry or an enclosed area and see whether you can actually coax it to come in? And look, use food as a goad. That's definitely the way to go with animals, particularly cats.
Yeah.
And you'll win it over fun. Look, it's never going to become a gregarious cat. It's never going to become a cat.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever owned it.
No, look, it may well be a street cat. And so, therefore, it's always going to, it's lived off its guile. And so, it's unlikely that by taking it in, it's suddenly going to greet everybody as a long lost friend. It'll become a singular cat, your cat. It'll be good with you and probably not many other people, perhaps your wife or whatever in the house, but that's about as much as you probably can expect. But certainly in what you're doing, I think is great, and just try and coax it in and go from there.
So if I sort of get a cage and like trap it, that's not going to traumatise.
Well, it could do, and that's, as I said,
about like the kittens.
Of course, you know, I'd be inclined to try and goad it in by removing or bringing the bedding into the laundry to start with, into an area where you can actually enclose it. And then once you do that, then build on that.
All right, no, I'll give that a shot.
Okay.
Good luck, Paul. Thank you, mate. Mark is in Midland.
Yeah, hey, General, how are you going? Carl, you're a legend, and Tony, you're also a legend. But I've got a quick question for you. I've got a Shar-Pei who's 4 months old, beautiful black Shar-Pei, but he's got cherry eye.
Yeah, right.
And I went to the vet the other day, and because he's only young, they can't put him under anaesthetic till he's 6 months of age, they said. And cherry eye, they said it might go back on itself, but it's very mucousy and pussy and just doesn't look nice.
Very common. What cherry eye, for those people listening, is when the third eyelid gland behind the third eyelid, and the third eyelid is what they call the nictitating membrane, which flickers over the surface of the eye, because the dog doesn't have a paw or a foot that can do that, or a finger. So the gland will get enlarged and flip the third eyelid will flip back and you'll see it there looking like a cherry. Two things I can make a comment about. Certainly they do go back without anything. Secondly, it's certainly worth medicating with eye drops. And thirdly, if you are contemplating surgery, make sure that you get a proper ophthalmic eye person to do it, because a lot of people just trim them off. They need to be anchored down back into the orb.
Can you recommend a good one?
Yeah, you'll find them listed. Talk to your local vet, and they've got several. There are several people either practicing with a special interest in eyes or actually have qualifications as eye specialists in Perth. And
what sort of cost would that be, you think?
Not a heck of a lot. I would have thought that pinning down a cherry eye might cost you in the region of $500.
Oh, okay, that's all right. Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
And just the other quick one, I've also got a Staffy.
Yep.
I got her fixed when she was 9 years of age. And when I take her for a walk, she's always rubbing her belly on the grass now, constantly.
Mm.
Is that a normal thing?
Yeah, it's not necessarily associated with being sterilised. Staffies traditionally have bad coats and they are a bit itchy. So I'd be thinking of looking at that as a primary issue rather than it being due to the sterilisation.
She had a phantom pregnancy. I tried to breed her. It didn't work. She had a phantom pregnancy, so her nipples are quite...
Large.
They should go back. Removed?
No, you shouldn't need to. They'll go back reasonably well, Mark. They'll eventually regress. We've got a Staffy now that we've had for 6 months, and she had just come off a litter, and they've now regressed almost to nothing. So therefore, I'd get her skin condition looked at as a primary problem.
And I've just had a quick Google whilst you two have been talking, and if you have a quick Google and just type in pet eye specialists in Perth, it will come up with a list there for you. Okay?
Oh, Carl, you're a legend, mate. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, mate. Back to the calls we go to Diana in Bentley. If you'd like to join the conversation, you're more than welcome. It is only for the next 20-odd minutes that we'll have Dr. Tony Vergano in here for my last time anyway. He will be with you each and every week, or one of his colleagues in this segment, the Swanbourne Vet Centre. If you want to go and get some professional advice, if you need some work done to your pets, then that is the place to go. G'day, Di.
G'day, g'day. Look, guys, I just wanted to make a comment that to yourself and Tony, that thank you for this segment, because the chap that rang up earlier, the lovely fellow who had lost his dog and couldn't bring himself to dispose of the dog's possessions and has now gone on to try and help a homeless pregnant cat, people listen to this show also because it shows the depth of humanity and decency that's out there. And I just wanted to thank you for that segment and to definitely send my best wishes to that wonderful man, and hope he has success with that pregnant cat, and thank you for your advice.
Good on you. That was Paul of Armidale who rang, and you could hear the emotion in his voice around the sadness that he had and the love that obviously he had for his dog. But, yeah, you're right, to extend the invitation that he has to this cat and to tell his story the way that he did and to get the advice from the doctor here, and we're trying to work out a scenario in which he can help this cat's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's very nice of you to do that, Diana. And in fact, as a veterinarian and having been in the industry for over 40 years, we'll say, I do think that we get a rose-coloured impression of the community, because we see people like that all the time, and we get the impression that all people are like that. They're not, unfortunately, but certainly the people who love animals, and I'm lucky in that respect as well, because I only deal with nice people.
Well, it's a wonderful example. Thank you for that segment.
Thanks, Di. Good on you. We'll get more calls after this. I've got to clear some commitments, obviously, and then Rena and Belcata, you'll be first.